Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day?
Ready? Good job. I was a little worried that you might be screwed up. But having Monday off, but you rose to the occasion. Way to go, Benny. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, Mark.
Well, happy Wednesday to you, buddy.
All right. So, early impressions, first impressions of George Payton or George Patrick, as John called him.
Just a quickie. I mean, quickly corrected him.
Quickly. He's never done that before.
No.
Never done anything like that before.
Case Keenum. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Hey, whatevs. Who cares?
No, it's all good. Listen, man, I think it's great. I think it's funny how, like, well, we make a big, this guy is a real grinder. Like, you know, I mean, I should hope so. But I think it's been, I think it's been good. And I'm happy about it. I love the philosophy. I love the team kind of philosophy, the team aspect of, hey, it's nobody's, one decision. We're going to have everybody grinding. I love what he laid out about the workflow and grinding through the film and meeting with the scouting staff, meeting with the coaching staff, making sure that we're all on the same page of what kind of players the coaches want, all that stuff to me sounds great. Now, it's just a matter of execution, and he's been doing it. They've been executing in Minnesota for quite some time. So good for him. I thought it sounded great.
Talked a little bit about what his guiding philosophy is.
I truly believe that everyone needs to feel like they're part of something. They have ownership within whatever they're doing, whether it's a football team, whether it's a law firm. And if they're doing the work, they need to be heard. And I truly believe that, and Rick Spielman, really is amazing at listening. And so that's how I got it from Rick. But you really have to listen and take everyone's opinion before you make a decision. And so if everyone feels like they're part of something, then I think you're going to get their best. If you empower your employees, I think you're going to get their best. And so that's my guiding principle, trying to get everyone together.
When John was introduced years ago, I joked right from this seat that you could have played the consensus drinking game and gotten pretty loaded that day, because John kept talking about, we're going to look to form a consensus. We'll get a consensus. We'll move on. We'll get a consensus. If you were playing the George Payton draft and develop drinking game, you've got a nice buzz yesterday. He talked about draft and development. I counted it up. He mentioned draft and develop at least five times and mentioned develop a couple more times beside that. So does that give you any sense, any clues as to how he's going to go about building this team? Because on the surface, this guy is all about the draft. I mean, yeah, he paid lip service to, we're going to explore every possibility. But this is somebody who kept talking about draft and develop. He talked about trying to always be on the lookout to acquire more picks, as he said, more darts to throw at the board type thing. So is that what we should expect?
Well, I think it's what you should expect. I think he's also 100% right. Mike, when you hit free agency, you usually are allowed to leave or hit free agency because there is some type of epic flaw in your game. Right? I mean, why? Like, I look at my own history in the league. Why was I allowed, after world championships and multiple Pro Bowls, why was I allowed to leave Washington? Because I failed three physicals. I couldn't stay healthy. There's an epic flaw in my game. It's my health. Injury. Why was Stephon Diggs traded away? Because there was an epic flaw in his game. he didn't get along, and they didn't, you know, I mean, he didn't get along. He didn't show up to practice. He was, you know, I mean, now he's completely turned it around in Buffalo. However they've made that work, they've made it work. But there was a reason they let him go. Like, you start to look at the issues, guys that hit free agency. You can't build your team in free agency. You're not one or two free agents away from being good all of a sudden. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes it's age, sometimes it's injury, sometimes it's attitude, but it's always something. There's a reason Case Keenum didn't get an offer from Minnesota. Because there's an epic flaw in his game. He's not that good, right? I mean, so you have to look at free agency as a tool to plug holes, but not to build your football team. Your football team has got to be built through the draft. Draft and develop. And if you look at the history of the Denver Broncos underneath the tenure of John Elway, it hasn't been good enough. And that's why you sit where you sit. That's not an attack on anybody. Don't get hurt feelings. That's just the reality of this business.
The other thing I heard, what I heard did not sound like somebody who would be in a hurry to pony up three first round picks plus maybe a second and a third for Deshaun Watson. As he said, you know, in Minnesota, we made the playoffs in Minnesota with six different quarterbacks. You can win without a franchise quarterback. Now, he said stability at the quarterback position is important. But he did say you can win without a franchise quarterback. Put that on top of everything he said about drafting and developing and all that. I don't know. That was the major topic of conversation yesterday before he spoke. Now, how far would you be willing to go after Deshaun Watson? To me, he doesn't sound like somebody who would want to give up that kind of haul.
Yeah, you may be right. I mean, I think all those things are dependent upon where they sit, what that asking price is, what it looks like. Obviously, you can win without having a franchise quarterback. Can you win a world championship without having a franchise quarterback? What is your ultimate goal here versus what is your goal in Minnesota? In Minnesota, is it good enough just to go to the playoffs? I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, I played here for 6 years. I played in Washington for 6 years. And the standard was a world championship. Anything less was a bust. Hey, the playoffs are nice. I get it. That's a great stepping stone. That's the first step. You want to climb up those steps to the world championship. Now, in some organizations, man, you get to the playoffs every year. You're gold. It's good. It's awesome. That we should not, Broncos country should not accept being a playoff team.
But your three Super Bowls came with Mark Rippon and John Elway, who was past his prime.
Correct.
So it obviously can be done.
Oh, there's no question, Mike. But again, you better have a damn good football team.
Exactly.
You better have a really good football team. And you better know who you are. The identity thing, like every time somebody asks him, what's your identity? The identity answer is draft and develop, draft and develop, draft and develop. What? What are you drafting and developing? How are you building a football team? Like that would be the identity I would want to know. What do you believe in? What are your core principles and values when it comes to building a football team?
Coming up, there was a lot of thought that yesterday was not a good day for Drew Lock based on what Peyton said. I disagree. And I'll tell you why next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
You know, you've made a lot of moves like that, and I don't really want to talk about the Diggs trade specifically, but we're going to look at every situation. We're going to be in every deal, and if it's right for the Denver Broncos, we're going to make that move.
Now, talking a little bit about his philosophy and how they'll look under every rock, exhaust every opportunity to try to find players in building the next great Denver Bronco team. But who will be the quarterback? Here's what he had to say about Drew Lock.
You know, I like Drew coming out of the draft. You know, big arm, athletic, playmaker. You know, I haven't studied him. I haven't got into a lot of tape. I've only been here 4 days. You know, I've watched enough tape to know that he's talented. He can develop. But I can't comment on your second question because of that.
All right, so he did not give him the vote of confidence. He did not say anything definitive about Drew Lock. He was very non-committal about Drew Lock.
He's tall.
Some take that as a sign that he's not interested in Lock. He's down on Lock. He'd like to move on from Lock. I just heard a guy that I want my general manager, I want all general managers to sound that way. I want him to be non-committal. I don't want him to make grand pronouncements this early in the process. I want him to play his cards close to the vest. I don't want anybody to think that they've already been given something. So the fact that he didn't come out and give any kind of grand endorsement to Lock, I don't think is necessarily a good or a bad thing for Lock.
I think that the thing, one of the things that impressed me about him is, and he said it several times, I've got to study this roster. I've got to look at this roster. Like and it's interesting, Mike, just in doing what I do for Fox, how many times I get calls across the country to come on and talk about somebody's football team. If I haven't covered you, it's really hard because I don't spend the time really digging into what you do on a week-to-week basis. So I have a very cursory knowledge of your football team, much like he has a very cursory knowledge of the Denver Broncos, simply because he's been focused on the Minnesota Vikings, man. He's been grinding. Now, he knows college players. He knows what their college tape told him when they got here. He said several things to me that really goes to show you, and I think supports what we've said for a while. When he continues to say draft and develop, draft and develop, draft and develop, understand what you are, understand kind of where you're going, understand what the coaches want, it's been a failure of this organization. Their draft and development has not been good enough to put together a solid football team. That's why, you know, when, you know, fanboy reaches out and says, if we get Watson, we're an automatic 10-11 win team. You're an idiot. I mean, you know, the Texans won five games with him. Or four games.
Four games.
Four games with him. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I appreciate George Payton looking at this thing going, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. I haven't dug into all the tape, but you're going to have to earn your job. There's a new sheriff in town. You got to earn your job.
Yeah, but even when he does end up doing a pretty exhaustive breakdown of what he's got, I still don't think you're going to get a whole lot from him. I'm not saying he's going to go full Belichick on us.
Absolutely.
But I get the sense this is a guy who's going to, what's the best word for it? I think there's a seriousness there. I think there's an intensity there, but I think there's a no frills attitude, about the way he's going to go about things. I just don't think he's going to be like getting out there doing press conferences and go, hey, let me tell you what's going on. I think he is going to play things close to his vest, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I like that, honestly. I got a good vibe from him yesterday. I just did.
The inclusive stuff is really important. And let me tell you why. When you talk about, I want to find out exactly what, like, we need to know as a scouting department and a front office exactly what kind of player. And I'm not just talking about size and speed. I'm talking about what kind of player. What do you covet at the middle linebacker position, at the D-tackle position? He even mentioned at the five technique. You know, what do you covet at the three technique, at the five technique? What do you cover in a nose? What do you covet in a nose? You know, in a 1-0 technique. What do you covet? Like, what kind of player do you want? We need to be on the same page so we can provide that guy. So from a development standpoint, it's easier to fit that guy in. And you have to be completely tied together from a coaching staff standpoint to a front office standpoint, because frankly, the coaches don't have enough time to grind. They're going to do a cursory look at what you guys get them at the top 20 players at that position or whatever, and they're going to give you their opinion of that guy on some cut-up tape. Cut-up tape provides no context, Mike. You can, I mean, I always say, I could provide you a 7-minute cut-up of myself. I'm going straight to the Hall of Fame. It's the other 7,000 minutes that I played that's keeping me out. So cut-up tape does not provide context, but that's what coaches look like or look at. They look at these cut-up tapes. So there's a huge volume of work that has to be done from your scouting staff, and they have to be on the same page as your coaching staff so that you can, so you really have a chance to develop a guy. You know, you just can't willy-nilly height, speed, weight. There you go. Make him a football player. Well, he's not a football player. He's not what I wanted. He didn't fit my parameters as a coach. And you gave me this guy, and there's a reason that these second rounders, these first rounders don't sign. He talked about signing second contracts. You know the guys that sign second contracts are the guys that start off in the right position. So let me just, I got a little bit of time really quick. So it's a couple years ago. I'm doing a game out of town. I'm not even going to tell you what game I was doing, but I walk in after a Friday night dinner and I see a couple scouts I know, and they're all bellied up to the, in the bar, kind of, you know, having it's close to the end of the season, their year-end season-end party.
Okay, so these are scouts for one of the teams.
For one of the teams.
You're calling, okay.
And I'm calling the game. So they say, hey, sit down with us for a minute. Sit down with us for a minute. It became an hour-long conversation about organizational philosophy. And is this guy? This guy's not playing. This guy, you know, on film, your film study. What did you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy? What do you get? This guy that we drafted. This guy that we drafted. We don't think he's playing in the right position. And that scouting staff and that coaching staff, zero, you could tell, zero connectivity. Zero. And so.
Were they a bad team?
Awful team. Yeah. And so you have to understand, and he's 100% right. George Payton is 100% right in this. If we're not all going in the same direction, if we're not, like, you gotta be a team, and I'm talking about front office, coaching staff, the whole organization's gotta be in the same direction with the same vision, the same identity, the same movement. And if you're not, guess what? There will be division and you will draft players that don't fit and you will wonder why a guy didn't develop. You know, and I mean, you can look on our team, look at DeMarcus Walker. There's a guy that was drafted as a D-end. They moved him to linebacker. He flopped around. Gain a bunch of weight, lose a bunch of weight, move over here, do this, do that. Like, there's a guy that they drafted because he's a really good athlete, but they had no idea what they were going to do with him. So he flopped around for 3.5 years before he finally found a home.
Had a pretty good year.
And he had a good, really good year. But boy, how much better would he be had you said, this is what we envision for you. This is what we're going to start working on. Let's go. They didn't have a vision here. They just said, hey, he meets the height, weight, speed triangle. Let's take him. And that you can't do it that way.
All right. Coming up, Morning Brew, more about what George Payton's philosophy is. And for everybody who's worried about John Elway meddling, I'm going to go full Aaron Rodgers on you next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on!
I truly believe that everyone needs to feel like they're part of something. And they have ownership within whatever they're doing, whether it's a football team, whether it's a law firm. And if they're doing the work, they need to be heard. But you really have to listen and take everyone's opinion before you make a decision. And so if everyone feels like they're part of something, then I think you're going to get their best. If you empower your employees, I think you're going to get their best. And so that's my guiding principle, trying to get everyone together.
I know, I've got to be careful. I got to pump the brakes a little bit. I, like a lot of people, came away from Vic Fangio's opening press conference and
sure.
was like, wow, death by inches.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, that kind of
right.
thing. Right. But I'll tell you, I came away very impressed by George Payton. And I, you know why I came away so impressed? Because there were no catchphrases. There
right.
was no, you know, ball security is job security. There was none of that. It was just kind of a no frills.
Ball security is job security.
No frills.
Uh-huh.
Straightforward. Seriousness. But yet with a little bit of...
Got big man's balls.
A little bit of, you know, a little bit of personality. But it wasn't like he was trying to go out of his way to impress, you know?
Right.
And I don't know, for where the Broncos have been for the last 5 years, the idea that a guy's coming in here and might just be somebody who just wants to go to work, I like that.
I think that's an
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think, obviously, you do it. It's a ton of work. You know, it's a 14, 15-hour day job. It is a ton of work. And you get the impression that he's in he's just enthusiastic about doing the work, about football.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun, you know? I mean, it is just fun to study it, to look at it, to try to figure it out. That is, like,
oh, you're
that's
like,
what
you're,
you want.
You're like that.
I still spend 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
Looking at tape. You know, I've got a couple teams that I'm going to consult for this offseason, so I'm starting to grind through some of their tape. Looking at some of their schemes and some of their runs and some of their stuff.
But you don't do it because it's just an obligation. It's like, oh boy, I gotta go look at film.
No.
I mean, you genuinely...
I genuinely dig it.
Enjoy it and have a thirst to
yeah.
learn more.
Right, exactly.
Great. I think that's how we all should approach
and I love,
whatever we're serious
and
about.
I love the team aspect.
Diesel does it too.
Yeah, I love the team aspect. I love that whole team. Like, I tell this all the time, and it's not a joke. You know, when Jesus started his ministry, what's the first thing he did? The first thing he did when he started his ministry, grab 12 guys together, right? 12 disciples. He created his team. He said, let's go. Let's go change the world. Like, I love the team aspect. So I'm fired up for that whole, hey, man, this is going to take all of us coming together and discussing how we're going to attack this. That to me is important. I love that part.
All right. So there you go. Some positivity right off the bat here on the Morning Brew. Next on the Morning Brew.
That was the key thing is he wanted to be great at what he does, and he also wants to have the resources and the ability to do what he wants to do. And I think that he saw that in Denver. He has that opportunity, and we're thrilled that he took the job.
All right, John Elway talking yesterday. And again, I think that there's been way too much conversation, way too much angst about the idea of John's role. And is John going to interfere? And is John going to get in the way? And is John going to meddle? I started feeling this way last week, and after listening to him yesterday, I feel even more convinced. John's just here to consult. John's just here to lend an opinion, but he's not going to get in the way. This is Peyton's gig. This is Peyton's call. I think this is, I don't want to call it a way to save face for John on the way out, but this is a way for him to sort of keep his, you know, hands in the kitchen a little bit. You know what I mean? But that's it. Don't freak out, people. Do not freak out. This is not going to be a problem. John is not going to be a problem.
No, I absolutely not. I mean, I think he's turned over. I mean, clean out his office for George Payton to take over. I mean, I don't think he wants, he knows how much work it is. He knows how much of a grind it is. I don't think he wants to go through that.
Yeah.
I think he's turned it over and said, you do this. I'm with you. I don't think there's any problem at all.
I think he would like to be able to share his input. Okay. Great. I gave you my input.
Hey, why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you want it? And I'm talking about good and bad.
Right.
I'm talking about good. Hey, man, these are the pitfalls I found in drafting quarterbacks. I know them, right? I know what the pitfalls are. Here they are. I haven't been able to find one that's fit. I mean, it's not an, and listen, man, it's not an easy task. That's not derogatory about John. That's just reality. Get in line with the other 25 franchises that can't find one. There's a bunch of them.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Then close of the first, start of the second, we went on a 15-0 run. And I thought the bench was really good tonight. But our guys, our biggest challenge has been closing games. And we've had leads, we've blown, we haven't closed some nights. And tonight I thought we put forth a really good effort.
Oh, you beat us to the punch. Man. Didn't even get to say that was Michael Malone.
No. I mean, I don't question who it is.
Is he, like, now entering that realm of he doesn't need to even be introduced?
No.
Do I need to say his name?
You know what next?
Do I need to say his name?
No. He's like Voldemort.
We do not speak his name.
Yeah. You know what would be, we should start doing? We should start having that music underneath every time he has a quote. That music should just play underneath it while he's talking. That music should play underneath.
So the Nuggets get the win, 119-101 over Oklahoma City. They improve back to 500 at 7-7. But what one thing is becoming crystal clear with this team. They got to get Michael Porter Jr. back from COVID. They got to get him in the mix, and they got to start to accelerate this process to find out if he can be a true difference maker this year. Because Jamal Murray, he's back on the roller coaster. We thought he had broken through last summer in the bubble.
Uh-huh.
It's starting to look like more and more that was just a mirage, you know, because he's back to these infuriating ebbs and flows. And they're not going to be able to get back to the Western Conference Finals if he's going to be that inconsistent. Right now, the only player that they can count on every single night is Nikola Jokic. So they got to find out what they got in Porter. And they got to find out quickly so they can go out and try to be aggressive and make a deal. Because what they got right now, that's not going to get you to the conference finals again. No way.
Yeah, the way they're playing right now, for sure, is not getting you to the conference finals. The
roster just doesn't have a good fit right now.
It doesn't feel,
it doesn't look like a conference championship roster. Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, it's cool. Probably should have got there sooner, but... obviously it's a cool milestone, 500 points in the NHL is not an easy thing to achieve, and had some great players play with me along the way, and you know, it's always fun getting points, but you know, it's obviously more fun winning for sure.
Now, this is a team that has the look of going to the conference finals and well beyond. The Avalanche win last night 3-2. They won two in a row, and last night, again, you saw examples of why Joe Sakic has lapped the field in this town when it comes to general managers. George Payton, right now you get an incomplete, you know, we wait. But right now, Sakic is so far ahead of everybody else, it's crazy. And you look at last night. Yes, yes, even ahead of him. I know.
Well,
I know.
See, I know. I would disagree with that.
Stunning,
because
but...
I would disagree with that because you can't possibly comprehend the next level stuff that he's doing right now. He's a doctor.
So they get goals last night from Brandon Saad and Devontae's, and two more just super shrewd moves made by Joe during the offseason. I'd like to think that I play a little role in this. Because a couple years ago, I was like, Joe, don't fall into the trap. Don't be like, well, the prospects, the pipeline. We'll see you in 2021. Go out. Get some younger veterans with still a lot to give. And boy, has he done that over the last couple of years with just some really, really good moves. I mean, he's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. Even Dr. Breidich. Yes. That pains me to say.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
I bet you we almost got George Springer before he went to Toronto. We're probably really close, Mike. Really close.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. All right, I'm getting from the Nugget apologist. Well, Jamal Murray's elbow's upset. Bothered.
His elbow's upset?
He's got an upset elbow.
He's got an upset elbow?
He's got an upset elbow.
Is that like an upset tummy?
Played all right the other night, didn't he? Come on. Folks, I'm sure he's banged up. Is he out there playing?
Right.
If you're out there playing, I've got a certain expectation. And come on, he's been up and down his whole career. Don't just blame it on it. God, people with their excuses. Man, people love making their excuses. Whew. I've forgotten how excuse-making a Nugget fan can be. Boy, they can make excuses. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, coming up, why George Payton said something yesterday that was absolutely music to Mark's ears. That's next. Well, I have news to pass along. I don't quite know how Broncos country is going to react to it. Philip Rivers is retiring. 17 seasons in the NFL, all those years with the Chargers, 1 year with the Colts. Said, quote, this is the first year I felt like the ending was real. This year felt different. Going to head off to, what, Alabama?
Alabama.
Coach high school football?
Coach high school football. It's what he's always wanted to be. Remember, his dad was a high school football coach. As a matter of fact, he told me the having a conversation with him a year or so ago about his throwing mechanics. And he said it's because he couldn't hold on to the ball. He couldn't grip the ball because his dad was a high school football coach. And he was always a coach being the ball boy. So he had to kind of almost shot put the ball is how he held it because he couldn't grip it. So he had to hold underneath it and just kind of shot put it to play catch with the high school kids, right? And so there you go. I mean, that's how he started. He goes, hey, the funny thing is my kids throw that way. Because they want to be like dad. They want to shot put it like, you know, so it just is. He wants to go coach high school football. And that's kind of his roots. That's where he came from. So he'll have a great impact. What an unbelievable player. What an unbelievable career. Good for him.
I always liked Philip Rivers.
I did too.
I did. And I know that early on, he was public enemy number one in this town, but that's because he got into it with Jay Cutler.
Right.
Once we learned more about Jay.
Right.
All of a sudden, Philip didn't seem so bad.
Speaking of, how you doing?
I mean, there was a time, I mean, years ago, I said, hey, if you could get Philip Rivers, I'd drive out to the airport and pick him up.
Yeah.
Dadgum.
Dadgum. He's hilarious.
You Hall of Famer?
244 starts, I think 240, something like that, consecutive starts. I think he's
never played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think he was always good though. I mean, I think he'll be eventually, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
I mean, played in one championship game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Played in one championship game, no Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Didn't win any Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, Philip Rivers belongs in the Hall of Very Good. I don't know about the Hall of Fame.
He's
like Cam Newton. I think he belongs in the Hall of Very Good, not the Hall of Fame.
You can't compare Cam Newton to.
Why not? Cam Newton was an MVP. Was Philip Rivers ever an MVP?
Cam Newton.
And Cam Newton played in the Super Bowl.
Well.
Got more playoff wins.
I don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear facts? Those are facts.
No,
they're facts.
Oh gosh. Okay, Hall of Fame.
All right, now I got
Hall of Fame slash.
All right, now I got you mad.
Yeah.
All right, I got you. Now I got you.
I'm talking about 63, almost 65,000 yards passing in the NFL, 240 starts or 244 games played, one of the second longest streak in the history. Come on. Just showed up every week. Hey, sometimes you're in a position where you're not on a good enough team to go.
Texter says, I'm actually kind of sad Rivers is done. Loved playing against him. John from Jamestown, North Dakota, salute the old enemy. May your ride into the sunset be peaceful and full of dadgum.
I'm
a diehard Broncos fan, but there isn't a classier player in human than him.
just talking that granddad smack, too. Gee whiz. Oh, honey, you know? Sheesh. Dead gum. It just is. Yeah, I will miss. He's fiery competitor, loves the game. In my mind, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm right. You're wrong.
Okay. Fine. Well, we'll see. All right. Here's something that'll make you feel better.
Okay.
Here's George Payton talking about part of his philosophy when it comes to building a team. I thought. In fact, in my notes, I wrote music to stink's ears.
Yes.
Here you go. Here's what it is.
Our philosophy in Minnesota is try to acquire more as many draft picks as you can. You know, the more draft picks you have, the more flexibility you have. In the offseason, you can make a trade for a player. Draft day, you can kind of work your way up and down the draft. If you want to go get a player, you can go get them. So we always thought it was important. The more picks, you know, the more darts, and the better chance of you hitting the bullseye. So I would like to think that would continue here. Now, every draft, it doesn't work out. You know, some drafts, you just want to, you want to stand pat and take the guy, a really good player. So that is going to remain a philosophy here in Denver, if possible. And then I think you said offense and defensive lines. I just think that's the core of your team. You know, I think you're going to be in every game if you have a really strong defensive line and a really strong offensive line.
Now Mark's smiling again. He's back in a good mood. It's like he rolled over on his back and I just kind of scratched his belly.
Yeah.
Now he's all happy.
I had one leg, my hind leg just going.
Kind of quivering a little bit.
Yeah. No, he's like that part is right. He's 100% right. Dominated the line of scrimmage, won a lot of football games. Both sides. And again, you know, people always think I just, you just like offense. No. Dominated the line of scrimmage. I think it goes a little deeper than the line of scrimmage on defense. I think it's the front seven on defense. I believe that. And dominate on the offensive line of scrimmage. Sometimes that's a, sometimes your fullback's a part of that. Sometimes your tight end, your wide tight end is a part of that. You know, sometimes your tailback's a part of that. Can your tailback block people? It's one of the reasons you've seen, this year you saw, I know there's a bunch of Philip Lindsay folks out there, one of the reasons that Philip Lindsay in critical situations didn't play. He's part of that equation.
More reaction from George Payton and what he had to say. And was it surprising that he didn't make more out of this? Tell you what that is next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.